Billy from Brandon, Manitoba.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We thank this for the opportunity of meeting again and to discuss thy word and thy plan and the things that thou hast revealed to us in the past and by those that thou hast revealed them to us. And for all those things that thy Son has bestowed upon us, both spiritually and materially, and give us the information we want according to thy ways and plans. So, Heavenly Father, we thank thee in the name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus, by whom and through whom thou hast given us redemption. Amen.
Now, dear friends, as was mentioned before, this portion of our convention will be a discourse by Brother Clarence Venske from Parker's Prairie, Minnesota. Brother Venske's topic is the sealed book. The sealed book. Brother Venske.
Thank you. Again, it gives me a great pleasure to be with you once again at this great assembly. A great pleasure indeed to be able to relate to you of some of the things that mean so much to me and to you. As you see before you, we have the chart of the seven stages of the church's history. This, as you know, is pictured us to us in the pyramid of the Grand Gallery. This vision, as you see before you, is the vision that John saw in the Isles of Patmos. We find recorded in Revelation, the first chapter, beginning with the 9th verse. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isles that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia Minor. And then enumerates the various churches as you see displayed before you. I would like to have you note the time that this vision is to apply. John, as you know, represents the feet members of the body of Christ. John, as you know, represents the time that he saw this vision was on the Lord's day. And in the parallel, as his prophecy points out to you, points to 1874, where we should expect those that are John, like John-minded, should see the vision as he saw. He's telling he saw behind. In other words, what he is saying is he's viewing this great photodrama, as it were, backward and forward. And then he tells us what he did see. This, as you see, is what he saw one sitting upon the throne with a book in his hand, as recorded in the 5th chapter of Revelation, written within and without. on a natural book with seven ribbons around it or seals, and then things written on the outside of the book, we would say, well, we could perhaps make out what was written between these seals. What was it that was written on the outside of this book? As we have, as Bible students, have searched through the plan of God, as it has been revealed to us by that wise and faithful servant, have given us the understanding what the outside of this book really is. In the first place, you remember when Adam was driven out of the garden, it had not rained at that time, and only a mist rose up to water the face of the earth. This mist, as we see it in our vision, suggests to us a vision of clouds in which to look through. A cloud that would be represented by the bare promises of God. We find that in back of the book, much of that was written and recorded, acted out for us, was but dimly seen. Yet it gave them a ray of hope. A hope that is the first picture that comes to our minds is the picture of the ransom. The ransom, which is pictured to us throughout the Bible by covering us with a robe of Christ's righteousness. The first picture in the Bible, we find that when God, after he had transgressed the law, a perfect law, they sold themselves clothing made of fig leaves. But God could not accept that type of a covering. They could not come to God with material things and think that it would be covered. So God, in this picture, as that great actor says, I am going to make the first picture a covering that will be enduring, a covering that will bring about the great restoration of paradise lost to paradise restored. What was it? That picture is that God killed an animal. And by killing an animal, it would require the shedding of blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And out of that animal, he took the skins of this animal. And it is so stated that he clothed Cain and Abel? No. Some have suggested to us that Adam and Eve were not covered by this, the righteousness of Christ's robe. But the record so states, and he clothed both Adam and Eve. So that's the very one that Jesus died for, Adam, in the Garden of Eden. And then we have other promises that were but dimly understood. You remember, this was just a picture acted out. This is the way that the Bible in the Old Testament declares to us a prophecy of these events that we're looking for. When we read about restitution of all things spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began, we don't have these statements set in so many words. Jesus is going to be brought to the cross and he's going to die. No, we read this in the Isaiah, he was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And this is the Lamb of God in the New Testament, which focuses light upon the moon and says, or the sun focuses light upon the moon and tells us in so many words that this lamb that was sacrificed, where he did not open his mouth, not a bone of his body was broken, was told to us in picture language. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they are which testify of me. And so this is the way we study the Bible. They're written in pictures. We have another picture of the lost dominion from that time by a tree that was cut down, where all the birds of the air had shelter under this tree. The animals had shelter, and the tree was cut down, another picture of restitution, whom the heavens must retain until the times of restitution. Brother Russell called our attention to that's the lost dominion. The tree was fallen, Adam was given the dominion over the fish of the sea, of the fowl of the air, and all of this was scattered because the tree was cut down. That this should not remain always that way is because of that ransom sacrifice that was pictured to us. That this tree would again be lifted up to its heights is indicated until seven times pass over it. Seven times, and that we refer to the times of the Gentiles from 606 to 1914. Then we have other promises in the Old Testament. This is all the parts that are written in the outside of the book, yet they are said to be sealed. They gave them a ray of hope. We have the promise over in Genesis 3:2, clothed Adam and Eve. Then we have another picture of Cain and Abel, where one offered material things and the others offered an animal, which again required the shedding of blood. God could not accept that which was material. He could not accept the fig leaf. He couldn't accept the grain that was offered. But he could accept that which pictured the blood of Christ. And as we go down, then some other bare promises were made, as in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head. Again, a ray of hope was held out for them, but it finally became dim again. And then we have another promise that in thee and thy seed, the promise to Abraham, to Jacob, was all given as a ray of hope, yet but dimly understood. And then it narrowed down to the seed to the line of the tribe of Judah. And then the seed is pictured as a lion. We find in verse 6 as a lamb. And then we understand until the lamb opened the book, these things began to unfold. Time prophecies were opened, Acts 1:7. Daniel 12, the 1260 days, another one of the prophets given some time measurements. As Daniel, who was so much concerned, and Daniel's people were God's people. And if you are pictured by Daniel, you too would be much concerned as to chronology. He says, how long will this be? He was interested. Did God say, well now, Daniel, you should never have asked such a question. Don't you realize that chronology is not important? Did he say that? No, by the voice of the angel says, greatly beloved Daniel. If he loved Daniel, he's going to love you. Because Daniel's people are God's people. So as we go on through this, we have the 1260 days. We know that that terminated at the time of the end when Napoleon took the Pope prisoner. Then we also know that the 1290 days takes us to the time of the Millerite movement. I call him Brother Miller. I read his history. We happened to come across the controversy in the churches. It was just about ready for the fire. And I looked in the end when I read it, you couldn't hardly help that tears would come to your eyes to see the sincerity, as the brother brought out, the sincerity in the spirit of truth that he brought out. Even though he had miscalculated, misexpected, he still was a beloved brother. And so as we come, but then we have the assurance in which we have waited for, where the seventh trump would sound, and yet it is only in prophecy, blessed is he that cometh to the 1335 days. This is the days where we've been waiting for. This is what Brother Russell said over and over again. When we came to that point, how over and over we began to say, oh, the blessedness who cometh to that 1335 days. And then we come also to the 2300 days that were cut out, the other days that were cut out of the 2300 days of cleansing the sanctuary. We find its fulfillment in the year 1846. And do you know that when we studied the pyramid, that we come right to the front step of the last step, the step when the image of the beast was set up, just by reversing the chronology, as Daniel it tells us, beloved, just reverse it and you get the date. And it's so interesting that I intend to speak to you tomorrow, and I'm going to speak in tongues. You believe that? The way that I'm going to speak to you, and if we were in a grand gala, we are in Pentecost. And they spoke in tongues in Pentecost. I'm going to speak the Polish language. I'm going to speak the Ukrainian, German, Norwegian, all these languages. You see, how are you going to do that? I'm just going to point to the pyramid. This is a little speak by itself. I wouldn't have to speak. God is the great interpreter. This is a picture of the Pentecost that we are talking about, not of the Pentecostals. So here is the language where we need no special human interpreter, but God will be his own interpreter. Daniel 9:24, 70 weeks of Daniel, reached to his baptism, middle of the 70 week crucified. And then again, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. In the time of the end it shall speak. All of these prophecies are recorded in Daniel 8:26. The vision is of the evening and morning. Notice that 6 days are said to have evenings and mornings. Well, then, following along that line of thought, we would also expect that the seventh, would have an evening and a morning. And when you study the chronology, the parallel charts, you will find that the week is divided in half. 3,500 years on each side of it. 1,000 years at each end. The last 1,000 years brings us to the end of the 7,000. All we have is 5,000 years unaccounted. But they are accounted. We have searched. That servant gave us a clue that we can find and place all the history unaccounted for, place that between these two periods of time of 1,000 years. Let no one suggest to you that there is any longer. When you have a yardstick of 36 inches, you have 36-inch, 1-inch blocks. Can you place 37 into that space? Impossible. You put in 36, and the history is all accounted for. Time marches on. I could talk perhaps 2 hours just on this line, but it'll only give you an idea of what is written on the outside of the book. You perhaps have many things that come to your mind other than what is written here, but it's just as Paul says, to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance that you might know. And so as we come to this period of time, we come to the time, as Revelation says, and the heavens were opened up. The heavens is opened up in Matthew 3:16. And this is right in line with the beginning of the grand gallery. I think it's just wonderful that it is so harmonious that we have that stone witness to pinpoint right to this period of time and all of the knowledge that was received. Remember how Moses was taken into Egypt. Moses pictured Christ. He was brought up in all the learnings of the Egyptians. How much did Moses know? Moses had a great deal. He was highly educated. Then if he's a type of our Lord, how much education did Jesus have? All we need to do, he gave us 42 parables. And this is not only past history, but history written in advance. He takes us to the time of the dividing of the sheep and goats, which is in the end of the millennium. Is the antitype is greater than the time. Now then, we come to an interesting point. This is what we have been looking for. This is the inside of the book. And this book is said that this is open by the Lamb. That Lamb is pictured to us as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who opens the book. and gradually unfolds the message as we go along on the stream of time. When we come to this last period of the church, when the last seal, the last ribbon is cut, the book flies wide open, and it says, "And the mystery of God is finished." In other words, not only Christ in you, the hope of glory, but it is no money, no more a mystery, for Jesus said, "The mystery has been hid from ages and generation, but now made manifest to the saints of the Most High." John the Revelator, he sees this vision, and it was on the Lord's day. And so we should see this vision too. We have here pictured before our minds seven trumpets. Seven trumpets is a number of completeness. We well realize that Brother Russell refers to these trumpets as those that stood before God as it referred to the Reformation. And there's no disagreement. But you must remember that the Reformers, they referred to the Antichrist. Way down here. So whatever these messages, this Reformation brought about, they echo their voices down to this period of time. So these trumpets are said to, in this period of time, there were seven angels that stood before God, prepared themselves to sound. When one prepares himself to sound, that means he hasn't sounded yet. So what is the secret? To prepare himself to sound is the 7 days of preparation from 1874 to 1881. The same picture is a picture to us that it rained 7 days, and on after the end of 7 days, there was a great deluge. Food for thinking Christians was displayed. And so we have the time of the sounding. These sounded, echoed their voices through the message of truth. The publication that came out, and what was it? Why does God permit evil? Election, selection for the church was revealed to us. Water poured on the ground. These three signs designate where we are in the period of time. Remember that when Moses went into Egypt, he gave the signs, but these signs are said to have voices, messages. Natural Israel saw the natural sign. Spiritual Israel hears the voice of the sign. And that voice was brought about, declared to us, made known to us by that wise and faithful servant. The book that came out, Why Does God Permit Evil? Then he made known and explained to us what the election, selection of the church, where all these things were thought of as contradictory. Calvinism and Wesleyanism, they used these same scriptures, but never did they harmonize them. One says that if you're elected before the, known unto God, elect before the foundation of the world, then there's nothing that you can do. You're already, before you're born, you are either going to heaven or hell. When that servant came out, we heard the voice of it, that there was more than one salvation, that the non-elect were not lost, but that God was taking out a people for his name, 144,000, that they should be associated as the bride of Christ. For Adam had a bride. By a virtue of a wound in his side, Eve was created. And by a virtue of Christ's wound, he too has a wife. And as we follow the flood picture, we find the same expression as Brother Russell called our attention when finding Noah went out of the ark. He said, "Be thou fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth." And there we could look for the picture of the mesiatorial phase of the kingdom. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall see his seed. His children will be that be regenerated through the blood of Christ. That was pictured in the first picture in the Garden of Eden. And so we have somewhat understanding what these seven trumpets signify. That these seven trumpets were not audible. but that this last trump was the last trump, the mystery, it says, of God shall be finished. It is a trump that it is designated as in Laodicea, and that the dead in Christ should rise first, 1 Corinthians 15:51. The last trump, there could be no more trumps after the last trump, could there? So the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that remain, they shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. What a glorious mention, all because of that first picture. He clothed both Adam and Eve. It is for Adam that Jesus died. One eye for one eye. One tooth for one tooth. One perfect life for one perfect life. Well, then we ask the question, why do we die? Why do all his children die? There's where God's wisdom comes into the arrangement. God had so planned. He had a plan from the foundation of the world, that he permitted sin to enter into the world at that early stage before any children were born forth. Now then we would say, then if it's an eye for an eye, a tooth for tooth, a life for life, if it was perfect and right for one man, a perfect man to take all mankind into sin and death, should it then not be equally right for one man to take him out? And so we find the scriptures to teach that as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now then we have horses. Horses, we'd like to take you a line through with the horses. Some of these we find here is a white horse. And we understand that the horse is used as symbol of doctrine. Doctrine and the colors of the horse would suggest to our minds what kind of a doctrine it really is. We find that at the very beginning we have a white horse. It suggests to us that it is a white, a pure doctrine, a clean doctrine, a white doctrine. But that this doctrine would not always be is indicated by these various places where this writer transfers himself from one to another. And then we come to the red horse. We come here to the doctrine when they had that great war, the pagan and the papal war. Well, probably one of the most horrible war that we have had as relates to religion. Then, of course, we come to the period of time, the black horse. Now then, if the white horse is the purity of doctrine, what would the black horse suggest to your minds? Void of truth, would it not? And notice that under each seal, as these seals are opened up as you read in Revelation, you have a message that you cannot take out here and put in there. Each one has its own message. Now the black horse comes into the period of time of Pergamos. And it has its application in the year 539. 539 is when the daily sacrifice was taken away. 539 referred to as their standing sun. Kings that did not receive power yet. He said there were 10 kings that received no power as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. What is that hour? That is the 1,000-year hour of the papal reign, beginning right at this point. 10 horns, 10 kings, 10 toes. 10. And that this, again, would be revived. That these kings would, as it were, get off from these horses. And that happened to be 1799 when Napoleon took the Pope prisoner and he died in the dungeon. And that is what the system itself declares, that is the end of our 1,000 years. That's the end of the 1,000 years, Christ. The trouble that came after that, they say, was the Great Tribulation. So we see that it was a counterfeit. 10 kings, writing, giving its support. In 799, Charlemagne was the first one that was crowned as king. And then, everyone, year after year, they were all, time went on, they were crowned. But when Napoleon, he put the crown on his own head, made a mockery out of the idea that he, the Pope, would crown, do any more crowning. This is the end then. Then we find that in this period of time, shortly after, he says, well, now this is down. Now we must set up something else. In the year 1846, we have an image of a beast, of that beast set up. This image of the beast, then again, the kings gave it support. And then culminated in the year of 1914. As we sing in the hymn, the seven trumpets sounded and the kings have had their day in the seven, and Europe was filled with rolling houses prior to 1914, but they all crumbled to the dust. And there was no king since that day. Oh, we have them around yet for demonstrative purposes, but as we have heard some brothers say, they're all out of date now. They're like old antiques. You know, we used to have them once, but no more. What's Europe ruled with? Well, today we could say it's ruled under communistic. But shortly after that, they had these parliaments and all, what you might call a ruling factor. And so we can see, if we follow this history of time, we can follow in here where it says, and death and hell followed. No Protestant should live. They were getting to a point where they have to flee into the wilderness with one wing of an eagle? No, they had two. The camel had two humps. Some like to ride on the Arabian if that has one hump. You know, they like to ride fast. You know, they are fast travelers. But where Rebecca was received from that, those camels had two humps. And this is where Eliezer went to Rebecca and says, will you go with this man? She didn't hesitate. She didn't say, well, maybe tomorrow, or I have to ask my parents first. No, she made her own decision. She says, yes, I will go. She watered the camels, and you know camels drink a lot of water. So it shows activity. Those that follow in the footsteps of Jesus cannot sit idle. You look under the scriptures of those that stand and sit. They sit among the ungodly. They stand with the wicked. But when it refers to the church, they are either running for the prize. They're like a Rebecca, she says, she hastened. Why are those things recorded? She pictures the bride of Christ. She hastened. She didn't wait for any length of time for any outside suggestions. She made her own suggestion. So it's for each one that wants to take this road to make its own decision, decide its own way. And as we go along, we find that in Revelation it calls our attention to that we would be taken to a supper, and there we would eat the flesh of kings and of horses. Do you ever eat horse meat? I ate a lot of that. These horses are said, the fire and brimstone comes out of the mouth. And if horses represent doctrine, it really was something, wasn't it? And then we ate the flesh of kings, literally. Heaven's sake, no. No fleshly kings. But we begin to understand through this messenger that the kings were having their day. The corruption that was in the world. And as we got information as what was going on all around us, we were eating them in that sense. We began to understand that the hellfire, the word hell, was merely the condition of death. It was rather a faulty translation. We began to understand. We consumed it. And this is the great supper in which we ate off. And then we come to this period of time here, a time of prophecy, Philadelphia church. And where it is said here, he says, and they cried from underneath the altar. Notice that this comes into this period of time. You cannot take this scripture and put it back here. You cannot put the black horse where the white horse is. You would confuse the whole picture. That's not the way John saw it. And that's not the way you want to see it. And so we come to this period of time of this condition. Philadelphia church. And he says, they cried from underneath the altar. Again, just like Daniel says, oh, how long is this going to go on? And the reply was, wait a little season until thy fellow servants, thy brethren also shall be killed as you were, be fulfilled. An unlimited time cannot be said to be fulfilled, can it? There was a limit to the time. And it says that word time is translated, it says a little season, a chronos. A chronos could be a literal year. But in this case, it fits in with 12 moons as they reckon 360 years. From Luther, 1518 would bring us where? When they would be lifted up out of the altar, from underneath the altar. They were sleeping underneath the altar. 1878, right? It is a coincidence, isn't it? No, it is not a coincidence. That, I believe, is a fulfillment of Bible pictures or prophecies. All this here is coming in, and it says, where I come quickly. One of them says, I come as a thief, I come quickly. And here he says, in this Laodicea appearance, as I stand at the door and knock. Identifies where we're living in the stream of time. And again, all the inventions, the key of David, the key of prophecy. Look at where we have all these inventions coming in at this period of time. We have the locomotive. We have the aeroplane, we have the steamboat, 1870, we have the printing of 1799, all of these inventions, preparation for the incoming kingdom. This is just in the day of his preparation. This is what Nahum, Job, all telling prophecy, telling of restitution, what would take place just before that. He says, and I saw in night vision, still night, a great beast coming out with smoke and sparks of fire would come out of its nostrils. His breath would kindle coals. They would stumble in their walk. They would hasten to the wall thereof, showing that it represents the locomotive, the old puffing billy, you remember? You've seen pictures of that. It is not the modern train. It's just his lighting goes for it. A flaming torch goes for his lighting. Full descriptives of carbon lights, conductor, and when it puffs out, it sucks in draft. His breath sucks in draft, if we would give that interpretation. That's exactly what it means. And as these railroad tracks were not as even as today is evident, because it refers to the day of preparation. It says where they would stumble in their walk. I used to ride them. I came down here in Canada here 20 years ago. I served at this convention. Brother Butch Boychuk was quite a bit younger then. But we had a good time, didn't we? Then, as we cover this period of time, we come into this wonderful gathering. Gather my saints unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. We find out that here's a horse, here's a horse, here's a horse, and horses all the way through. And then we come to this period of time and says, and we saw many white horses, not black and white or any other color. And so we read in the scriptures in harmony of that the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. No one will have to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, for they all shall know him. White horses. And then again the morning comes with all of this beautiful information. The morning comes and also a night. Weeping shall endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But then it tells, we come to the morning. And the Swedish translation says, and it's still night. What is that night? More horses coming. What kind of a horses are there now? We have gone through so many doctrines, so many horses. Now we're coming to some more horses. Where did these come from? Remember that these horses, they come between Elijah and Elisha. They come from the heavenly courts, divinely directed. When did they come? Before they crossed Jordan? No. Jordan was first crossed. So we find that Jordan picture, whatever you however you interpret, you must find that the division between Elijah and Elisha comes after Jordan. You must also recognize that there was harmony after 1914, where they still walked and talked together for a while. Then, as sure as we find divisions, division after division, we must also find prophecies to that event. We deny the fact that there are no divisions among the Lord's people. Well, today it's so bright that anyone deny it, I couldn't hardly know what I'd think about it. But what we must do, we must look to the early points of division. We must look for the time when it says that God doesn't have a plan. God only has a purpose. This, as a brother called our attention to, is in the third volume. That would be a termination at the time when the servants of the Lord would be sealed in their foreheads with an intellectual knowledge and appreciation of the divine plan of the ages. And he says this would picture to us the dark night. It would picture to us the closing of the door. Page 211, Brother Russell says, don't look for this door closing all at one place or all at one time. But as you confront one and another with the time of trouble of trying to show the plan of God, he says it tends opposition to that plan. I think all those that have experienced try to revive the divine plan, that it is the truth today as it was in Brother Russell's day. How many can we give a discourse to? How many can we take the parallel charts? Let's enumerate these parallel charts and see where there's opposition. Is there opposition in the second presence of Christ? Is there opposition in the Jubilee? Is there opposition in the times of the Gentiles? Is there opposition in the stone striking the image? Is there opposition? Can you say that the Lord has returned and then protest against and say that our Lord, that we're not in restitution? Heaven is to retain him until the times of restitution. If our Lord has returned, then it should suggest to us that restitution is the order of the day. And Brother Russell points out that I had no intention to suggest to your mind that it's restitution physically, moral, or mentally. Then what other restitution did he refer to? He suggests that one of the first signs is the return of Israel to the promised land. It shows that they would return in unbelief. And it also suggests, he says, at the time when the four winds would be let loose. That would be the time when all of these happenings would be the order of the day. So we are not quoting anything from our own, but we are quoting from that servant who gave us that meat in due season. This is the one that we're following. We're following with the one that the Lord has given us to. Notice that if the servants are sealed, if the winds have not let loose, then the servants are not sealed. And if the servants are sealed, then it's time for the wind to let loose. Now, what is what was going to give Israel breath? You read Ezekiel, I think it's the 37th chapter, where he states, he says, "Oh, breath, breathe upon these slain ones." And it says, "Indeed, breath came from the four winds." And they did breathe on them, and they did live. Is that a future event? Notice we're going back again to the fig tree. It says, when the fig tree again put forth leaves, know that this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. How long is the generation? David tells us of a 70. 70. Add to 78 the time when Beaconsfield, a prime minister Jew from England, gave them the privilege to hold real estate. And so we find 70 plus, or 1878 plus 70 is 1948, in which they received the breath from the four winds. The wind started in 1914 and had its termination when the hunters came upon the scene. 6 million Jews were put to death. This is what Brother Russell refers to as that there would be another uprising in the forewords of the Armageddon book, that there would be another attempt, but that they would not be victorious is indicated throughout the scriptures over and over. It was an unconditional surrender, so they weren't victorious. And so we have picture after picture in the Bible about that attempts would be made, but never victorious. We have the three children in the fiery furnace, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They were cast into this fiery trouble or time, which that step in the gallery, pictures draws. They were cast in, but no hurt. But they had on the fourth one with them as the one like unto the Son of Man. What, are we going to have a reverse picture of this? If this is applying today, are we going to have another one that speaks oppositely? Again, Daniel in the lion's den. Was any hurt on them? It shows attempts, but not victorious. But the trouble that we're getting in today, what this is going to terminate with is it's going to terminate in anarchy. It is the people that are going to rise up against the church in which it's already in progress. I could tell you, I could speak on this another 2 hours and show you that the church is not coming up and joining with the state. The kings have had their day. They're not coming up. Don't let anyone ever suggest that to your mind. The kings have had their day, and this is the end. The fifth universal empire has been set up. This is the time, end of the times of the Gentiles. And so, dear friends, tomorrow, as I said, I'm going to speak in tongues. I have the pyramid chart. I have drawn it as closely as I can. It's not perfect by no means. But I think that this pyramid in stone is going to be a witness for the world. I never realized that pyramid can be a definite stone proof to the divine plan of the ages. And I would assure you that this stone can be harmonized with every parallel chart. It can be harmonized with the divine plan of the ages. It can be harmonized with the tabernacle shadows. It shows the various planes, and it shows the stream of time going horizontally. Planes also have time. I think maybe my time is up. So I'll talk to you again tomorrow, and I hope that I have somewhat encouraged you that no one will destroy your confidence in what has been brought to us. What was truth then is truth now. Truth never changes. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Vinsky, and truly, as some of the brethren have said, we've gathered here to have our pure minds refreshed, and we're being refreshed all along the way. On every aspect of the present truth, we're being refreshed today, and we expect to be so tomorrow. And the Lord bless you in your delivery, brother, of this beautiful summary of the harvest message, the sealed book, and it's been unsealed to us. Isn't that a wonderful thing to be thankful for, dear friends? Brother Vinsky has chose to close with hymn 171. What is it in the Ukrainian, Brother Frank? Have you? 97. David Deshitsim, 97 in the Ukrainian.